I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, 15 and 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. You might notice that when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty." 99 years old. And here's the thing, I'm going to send you out on a mission at 99. Interesting. I'm curious, though, because you might notice that Abram, we always, when we look at Abram, we look at a man that we call the father of faith. So how many here think if we believe in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, you will never have a problem? Anyone believe that? Okay. How many of you believe because you have faith, there will not be challenges in life? Or change? Who believes everything will happen just the way you want it to happen in life if you're a true believer? You know, you hear that. You hear evangelists say, if you're a true believer, everything will go your way. Well, the father of faith seems to be a true believer, and he had some challenges, not to mention his age when he was called. I believe if we look at the lives of Abraham and Sarah, who had God with them from the beginning of their journey, we can easily see that having God in our lives does not prevent life from happening. Life's going to happen. For better, for worse, we're going to have life with God in our midst. That being said, having God in our lives does make a difference, as it did for Abraham and Sarah. Some of you ladies might know this story, and maybe some of you guys, if you were sitting in a doctor's office and or somewhere and picked up your wife's or the office's ladies' home journal. But there's a story that came out one year in the Ladies' Home Journal by Edward Bach. And Edward Bach was the editor at one time, and he told a story about his grandfather, and his grandfather was from Denmark. And this story, I've checked it out, and it's just really, really interesting that his grandfather was commissioned by the king to rid Denmark of pirates. They had a real issue with pirates. And so the grandfather, Bach, got in a ship with his men and went out on a little island. And after some years, he actually rid Denmark of pirates. And after he did that, he went back to the king and said, "We don't have a problem with pirates anymore." So, upon his return, the king was so pleased and offered Bach anything he wanted. By the way, Bach, be okay, for those of you who aren't from Denmark. Be okay. But Bach said all he wanted was a plot of land on the island where he was stationed to get rid of the pirates. And the king's court thought he was crazy. The king wasn't all that sure about him either. Because, folks, that island where he was constantly swept by storms and high winds. There was nothing there. It wasn't even able to grow a tree. But he said, that's what I want, is a plot of land. Well, since he insisted, the king granted him his wish, and he went to live on the island, and he built a home. And after he got the home built and got everything ready, he brought his wife. And the two of them worked industriously, persistently, planting trees, shrubs, and grass. And gradually, the vegetation took hold. The island began to flourish. One morning, they arose and heard birds singing, and there'd never been any birds on that island. It's quite a bit of work. Eventually, the island became a showplace and now is visited by thousands of tourists each year. That windswept, storm-swept little island, he and his wife turned it into something where people would come and visit even to this day. When he died, the grandfather requested the following words be inscribed on his tombstone. Make you the world a bit more beautiful and better because you have been on it. We look at this story of Abraham and Sarah. That's what God's telling them. I'm going to lead you to a new land. I'm going to show you a new place, and I want you to make the world a better place for your people. In fact, I'm going to make you the father of nations, and I want you to make life more beautiful and better for everyone. Father of nations. It's a lot of people. But the story didn't end there. Edward Bach, the grandson, who wrote this story in Ladies Home Journal and had become an American citizen, believed anyone who was able to do so should retire at 50 and spend the rest of his or her life making the world a more beautiful and better place to live. And he was as good as his word. At 50, he retired as editor. One day, while traveling around Central Florida, he came upon Iron Mountain. I don't know if you know where Iron Mountain is, but it has an elevation of 324 feet above sea level. It's the highest point in Florida. And it hit him. He immediately thought, why not repeat in America what my grandfather had done in the old country? He bought the site and set to work. Eventually, he was more than successful. The place is called Mountain Lake Sanctuary, Lake Wells, Florida. Upon his death, Edward Bach willed it to the state of Florida, and it is now a major tourist attraction. Inscribed on a wooden plaque next to his coffin, the younger Bach had inscribed, make you the world a bit more beautiful and better place because you have been in it. The story of Abraham and Sarah tells of a couple who basically were out there just as nomads, hanging out, bunch of people, the tribe. And he says, I want you to make the world a bit more beautiful. I want you to make it a better place. So I'm going to take you to this new land. I'm going to put you there, and you make it the way I want for the world to enjoy. We must also keep in mind in chapter 12, verse 2, we're told, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing. Did you catch that? So you will be a blessing. And God says that to each and every one of us. I want you to be a blessing to others. Do you think you're a blessing to others? God led them to a new land so that they might be a blessing to others. After all, if Abraham's people did not become a blessing to others, what would be the blessing of Abraham? Why did it even exist if he's not supposed to pass that blessing on? Did not Jesus Christ commission us to be a blessing to others? To love your neighbor as yourself? Isn't that a blessing? You know, at age 16, Andor Foulds was already a skilled pianist, but he was experiencing a troubled year. In the midst of his young Hungarian's personal struggles, one of the most renowned pianists of the day came to Budapest. Emil von Sauer was famous not only for his abilities, he was also the last surviving pupil of the great Franz Liszt. For you musicians, you know how great that name is in the music world. Von Sauer requested that Foulds play for him. Foulds obliged with some of the most difficult works of Bach, Beethoven, and Schumann. When he finished, Von Sauer walked over to him and kissed him on the forehead. "My son," he said, "when I was your age, I became a student of Liszt. He kissed me on the forehead after my first lesson, saying, 'Take good care of this kiss. It comes from Beethoven, who gave it to me after hearing me play. I have waited for years to pass on this sacred heritage, but now I feel that you deserve it.'" God blessed us. God has given us great gifts. You probably don't even realize half the gifts you've been given. There are people in the world that don't even realize they have any gift at all. But you no doubt have gifts, because that's what God blesses us with, is gifts. And that kiss is the same, in that I'm giving this to you, God says, so that you will give it to others. Pass it on. That's pretty important. But, you know, in the event that you are having some issues figuring out what your gifts are, I want you to make a list of your gifts. Do a mental list for now. And if you can't think of any because you don't recognize your gift as a gift, I'm going to get you started. And I want you to listen. And I know that some of you may even think it's funny, but it's actual gifts. This is not to be funny. Being kind and courteous is a gift. Not everybody does it well, if at all. Cooking has become a lost art. Laura tells me when she was little, her mother would set her in a high chair, you know, like a bar chair, next to her when she cooked and taught her how to cook, and Laura can cook. But her mother passed that gift on, and her mother, in my opinion, and some others that I've met, is definitely a world-class chef, but she taught Laura. Auto mechanics. I have personal experience in this area. My brother has a natural knack for this, just like my dad. My dad go out and he'd work on a car, he'd fix it, never took it to a mechanic because he didn't have to, did it himself. That wasn't his job. You know what I mean? His career was somewhere else. But he knew how to do this, and he passed it on to my brother. It didn't take with me. I do use mechanics if I have a problem. But nevertheless, that is a gift. And it was passed down, and I was thankful because then I took it to my brother when I needed it. Then farming, or simply growing food like a garden. You hear people say, "I don't have any food," and they have a big yard. They never tilled it, never tried to grow anything. Laura and I used to grow tomatoes, squash, you name it, we grew it. But it's a gift. Not everybody can do it, or not everybody wants to do it. Yard maintenance. You go down the road, how many of you go down roads and you look and you say, "Man, that's a beautiful yard. Look what they've done. Look how well it's manicured." Can you do that? It's a gift. Plumbing, which we know about here in the church. Sewing, knitting, crocheting. Again, some lost arts. Quilting, arts and crafts, sketching, coloring. My brother is also an artist. He can take charcoal and, I mean, if he does a picture, you just think it's real. Nurturing others is a gift. Not everybody has the gift of nurturing someone else. You have nurses. They nurture. They help you get better. Writing. Handwriting is becoming almost obsolete. You got a computer, just get on the computer and send it out. To sit down and write a letter to someone, it's very unusual nowadays. Reading. A lot of young people, they don't want to read. Why? You can put on an audio book, listen to it. When you're little, your parents read to you, so you get older and you just put in a tape and it reads to you. Animal care. Not everybody knows how to care for animals. Painting. Yes, like walls, painting in a church, home maintenance, medical care, wood crafts, carving, lathing, dancing. Not everybody knows how to dance. Not everybody wants to. Singing. These people up here, when they hear me sing, they know that not everybody has that gift. Playing an instrument. How many of you play an instrument? It's a gift. These are things that can be taught. These are things that God says, I'm giving you this gift. Pass it on. But some of us go through life and we never even attempt to show anybody what it is we know. How many of you have had a family member pass and say, you know, I really wanted to cook that meal, but I never took time to learn from my mother. I really wanted to know our history, our family history. My dad and mom were really into it, but you know, I never really listened. I don't know. Some of us just don't invest ourselves. And if we learn, it's something we can pass on. And if our parents set us down and say, you will learn this, hopefully, we do. And I'm going to go on to something else, too, as I talk about this. You know, we didn't get to have a service for Bob Talent, but Bob Talent was someone that every week I'd be sitting here and he would come in. And he would come in just to look and see if anything needed to be repaired. He would come in once a month, and he would get his secret place. And he'd say, have they come in yet? Yes, sir. He'd grab a secret place. One for Evelyn, one for him, and one for Bobby. Get the large print for Bobby. Just, he was always doing that. And he passed that on, and everyone in that family prayed, and everyone in that family understood that we are a family who not only believes in God, but prays to God, and we do meditation. That's just something he passed on to his family. And it's something that struck me as, golly, he's just regular as clockwork. He just had a sense of when the secret place would be in, and he would come and he would get one. And he would just come in and say, oh, I'm going to look around. Do you need anything fixed? God tells Abraham to pass it on. He tells you and me to pass it on. It is not for God to teach every human being these things. That's why God has us. That's why he gives us the talent. I'm giving it to you so you can pass it on. Even in banking, I bet George has new people come into banking and he has to show them around and teach them. You don't just walk in and know that stuff. You learn it. It's what we do. If you have one or more of the gifts of service, you are critical. You are critical to the work and glory of God. Don't think lightly of your place in God's plan, because you will find that your place helps other places continue. Now, most of you know how this works, but just for an example, a man goes to buy a hamburger for lunch. The young lady behind the counter says, do you want fries with that? The man answers, he does. The lady gets the fries from under a hot lamp. She couldn't have gotten those fries if someone hadn't delivered them in a truck. Truck driver becomes pretty important. The truck driver could not have delivered them unless someone had grown the potatoes and taken them to market. You got a farmer. The fries could not have been taken from market and delivered by truck unless someone made boxes to put them in. You got a company that makes boxes. The boxes would not have been available unless a plant had been built. The plant could not work without a machine, and the machine would not have been available without an engineer to design the machine. See how it goes, and it goes. It's what we are to do. The engineer working on the design of a machine, when he notices it's noon, he drives to the nearest fast food restaurant and orders a hamburger. The lady says, "Do you want fries with that?" It's a circle. It's a circle. When we pass things down, it just keeps going. We make other things happen when we serve God, when we fulfill our mission as disciples of Christ. Everyone in the story is important. Every one of you is important. Some may make more money or have more prestige, but if you left out one person in that circle, there would be no fries in the restaurant. Service gifts tend to be in the background, but that does not mean that they're unimportant. They are critical to the church and others in accomplishing the work of God. If someone hadn't taught Beth to play the piano and the organ, we would have no music. You understand? You have a mission. God has set you on a mission. And if you haven't shared your talents, if you hadn't thought of what you have as a talent, please rethink. You are important. Your gifts are important. Your service to God is important. Why? Because you are important to God who loves you. We know that because the Lord tells us, just as He did Abraham and Sarah. If Abraham and Sarah had never gone on that mission and gone to the new land, where would we be? If Moses had never freed the people from Egypt, where would we be? See how it just keeps going. And going. And all too often, we lose sight of that and we think we're not important, or we think what we know is not important. Nurses are important. They have skills. Everyone in this world is important, but you have to see your importance, because if you don't see it, you're not going to use it, right? Even engineers are important. They're all important. We wouldn't have anything on the moon if it weren't for engineers. We wouldn't have cars. Wouldn't have ships. Wouldn't have planes. You see how that works? You are important. Never lose sight of the love of God for you to pass on the many gifts that He's given you. And be willing to share those gifts. Be willing to share the gifts. They may have changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarah's name to Sarah. But, you know, a rose by any other name is still a rose. It didn't change the fact that they, Abram and Sarah, were commissioned to do God's work. That doesn't change. Let us be thankful for the gifts we've been given, and let us share them. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, all too often we forget the many gifts you have given us, and sometimes we don't even see the gifts that you've given us. And we ask that you open our eyes and our hearts to the many gifts that we and others have, that we be willing to learn from others, that we be willing to share with others, that we be as your son was, going about doing your business. For we ask this in His name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.